I'm Trisha Helfer, and you are listening to After the Credits at row3.com.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits. I am your co-host, Ryan Antunes of Row3.com and Quieter.us, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Colleen, super awesome person.
From?
Nothing.
No, the Beat a Dead Horse?
What happened? Beat the Dead Horse, yeah.
Yeah, it, what happened to Beat the Dead
still,
Horse?
It's still
a work in progress.
Yeah. I do own it, though, so.
Dale from a whole handful of dormant web projects and newly minted producer at Co-op Radio in Vancouver.
Hooray!
Should we do like a?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
we'll see how long this endeavor lasts.
That's awesome.
But I'm optimistic. Yeah.
Congratulations, that's fabulous. Do we dare ask what kind of show it is?
It is. Oh, I'm helping on the show. If I was going to create a show, this wouldn't be the show I would create. But it's called Each for All, and it's kind of about co-ops.
Okay.
In Vancouver, and the
wait. A co-op radio show on co-ops.
Kind of meta, isn't it?
Mm. Very meta.
The guy is really into it. It's kind of interesting.
The next NPR.
It's about people helping
totally
people.
Totally addicted to NPR. It's all Dale's fault. Dale got me into NPR.
Oh,
and
have you gotten addicted by cereal yet?
I was addicted by cereal 3 weeks in.
Oh, okay.
Because I started it 3 weeks late. Like, when I heard about it, they were already 3 weeks in.
But
I listened to like 5 episodes. Like nonstop.
Oh, we have.
It's fucking awesome.
We have people. Well, you know, I still haven't listened to it.
Oh.
But there's someone in. There's two people in the office that are thoroughly addicted, and they got number three addicted. She powered through.
Oh so my
that
god, she it's could, so like, good.
Episode by episode, they're like.
I quite honestly had withdrawals this week because it's Thanksgiving in the States, so I didn't have an episode, and. It did not dawn on me until like the end of the day Thursday, and I'm like, why is there no episode yet? And I'm like. Fuck Thanksgiving! Yeah, I was very upset.
Silly Americans.
Do they have that classical NPR voice?
It's a little different. It's not quite that classic NPR voice.
We're not talking in soft, dulcet tones.
Actually,
it's not officially NPR. No, I don't
know.
No,
it's produced by This American Life. So, but it is WZ, yeah. Okay. Some whatever, Chicago, which I think is NPR.
I won't get into that. It's complicated, actually, the way NPR isn't a homogenous thing.
I'd assume so.
There's National Public Radio, and then there's the member stations, and they sell things back and forth to each
other. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you got me into Planet Money, which was the first one I listened to, and now I'm totally addicted.
Oh, man, I aspire to.
And then for a while there, I was listening to TLDR because it was a lot shorter than on the media.
Yeah.
But TLDR hasn't published in a while.
And those buggers moved on.
Exactly. So I'm like feeling the withdrawal of weird news stories. I'm like, well, I'll listen to on the media. Now I listen to on the media regularly. So there goes another hour of my life. So, yes.
My favorite day of the week now is Mondays. Because I usually get new episodes of The Horse Track Hooligans or Caustic Soda.
There you go.
Yeah.
We all have our own. Are you listening to anything? Since we're talking about podcasts, might as well keep going.
Canada Land with Jesse Brown.
Oh, what's this?
So Jesse Brown is a national reporter. He started I don't know if he started his radio career there, but what I first learned about him was he did a radio show called Search Engine, which was also, you know, available as a podcast on CBC. They canceled Search Engine. He moved Search Engine to TV Ontario, and did the program there. And then I didn't quite, if he explained it, I missed it. I'm not sure that he explained it, but it was just like he said, time to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. At TVO, and he had another project. I signed up for his mailing list for his new project. I did not get anything. It turned out he started a new podcast called Canada Land, which had been going for like a year in October.
Holy shit.
So now you have to play catch up.
So I found out that he had this podcast called Canada Land when he broke the Gian Gomeshi story with the Toronto Star.
Oh.
That was Jesse Brown that did that whole thing. And okay. he aspires to be a on the media style watchdog, like media critic for okay. Canada.
Okay. Oh, I might have to listen
now,
to that
the
show now.
The other notable thing about Jesse Brown for everyone out there that's like interested in podcasting as a subject on its own is he has successfully funded himself with Patreon as a full-time job.
Oh, wow.
Podcasting.
Wow.
Which is that's pretty impressive. Awesome for what amounts to a niche thing in Canada.
Yeah.
Now, he stated, I haven't been able to find numbers to back this up, but I suspect it's true. He stated that his podcast has more reach than a lot of the editorialist writers for like the Globe and the Star.
I'm not surprised because podcasts, it's so much easier to... I would rather listen to it than read it. Like I will listen to the editorial. I would never read on the media if it was a column yeah. on a weekly basis.
Yeah, and I don't read the Globe and Mail regularly. Like yeah. only if someone posts a story.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So yeah, it's like I was like, damn, I knew about this guy and oh, I've like awesome. Been missing him for a year.
Oh,
so I've been kind of catching up on his stuff.
If I'm gonna have to check out the show.
And they're generally like they're on the shorter side, so.
Oh, that's good.
I like the concept of Patreon.
Patreon.
Yeah.
Patreon.
Well, that's the way he pronounces it.
I've only sponsored one person so far, but...
Yeah, he did a write-up, too, which is, I thought, like, really interesting for his reasons for wanting to do that versus Kickstarter,
mm-hmm.
which was, like, this to me, I don't create an artificial deadline.
Yeah.
And I do want to keep this going, so this is more in the spirit of what I actually want to do. And, oh, by the way, Patreon makes it really easy for people to quit. So I have to stay on my game or people go away.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So it keeps you honest as an artist. To yeah. keep creating. That's cool. I actually know somebody else that's considering doing Patreon. He's an artist. Same thing.
Yeah.
It's, it's a way to keep yourself motivated as well.
I think in the webcomic world, it's taking
yeah. Torin Atkinson, one of the animators for... Atomic Comics, mm-hmm. Rocket Monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He has it. That's the person I'm sponsoring. Yeah.
I saw the Cosmic Monkeys reference. So.
Yeah.
I saw your comment.
I know. He never did answer that, so.
No, yeah. He didn't. But we are here to talk about movies, even though we started talking about podcasts that had nothing to do with movies.
Wait, this is stuff. A movie podcast?
This is totally a movie podcast.
All right.
Well... movies and whatever other shit's floating around in our heads.
Whatever so. Tangent we decide.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Sweet.
It is
with a big helping of opinion.
Yeah, it is of our own creative devices, so it is what it is. But yes, we are generally speaking a movie podcast. if you have never listened to us before, hi.
If history teaches us anything.
Yeah, welcome. Exactly. Yeah, welcome.
With December, we have set a new personal best.
Oh my God, we totally did.
We have.
We did 12 previews this year.
I'm
we
so
did
proud not, of you guys.
We did not miss
oh yeah,
month.
That's right.
I'm at 10.
Yes, we recorded 2 without Colleen because we need to keep the streak alive.
That's right.
Way to go, Dale.
And they were the best ones.
Oh, what? I'm not high-fiving that shit. I'm sorry.
Leave me hanging.
We miss you.
Yeah, totally leave you hanging. I'll do the...
Oh, psych.
Yeah. God almighty. But yeah, let's look ahead to December. It's a slightly longer month. It looks like we have a couple more titles, but that's not too surprising. Christmas is usually a place where, December is the last gung-ho for the Oscar hopefuls.
So yeah.
If you're going to get your movie ready to go for...
And I was surprised. We don't have a Christmas-themed movie this year. We have some feel-good movies coming out around Christmas, but there's no Christmas with the Cranks or Polar Express-style movie coming out.
Yeah, which is a little bit surprising, isn't it? Well, let's kick things off on December 5th with Jean-Marc Vallée's Wild, starring Miss Reese Witherspoon, based on Cheryl Strayed's memoir about how she was... walking the Pacific Northwest Trail after a personal thing. She was trying to find herself. I saw this, actually. I saw this at VIFF. It was the opening night film. I rather enjoyed it way more than I thought I would. But I think that that's just Valet being fucking awesome, so whatever.
Yeah, and Nick Hornby did the screenplay.
Which is really impressive too. I mean, I actually thought it was pretty great. It's not Tracks, which I liked a lot better. That's more my style. It's a little more pensive, but this was really good, and Reese Witherspoon is quite good in it, so I would recommend it. I thought it was great.
I didn't get much from like the story off of it, but like the actual thought of just putting a backpack on and walking 1,000 miles kind of thing appeals to me no end.
And it's funny because the scene where she puts the backpack on is fucking hilarious.
A little bit too heavy for her?
I saw it with a girlfriend who backpacks, and she just looked at the bag and she's like,
yep.
She just cracked up like, yeah, somebody that has never walked before in her life. It's a really funny scene. And it's, you know, for a movie that gets to some really dark places.
It is an art to pack a backpack correctly, because yes. You want the weight distributed in certain ways.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. She doesn't play the inexperience is definitely on screen. It's pretty great. But I thought it was pretty good.
Cool.
Anybody else want to add anything before we move on? I felt like I talked that one up.
No, that's good because
I didn't have much to say about it.
Yeah, I mean it didn't hook me.
I rather enjoyed it. I would recommend it to folks.
Now that might be the fault of the trailer, because the trailer was just a little bit too trying to pull on the emotions a bit too hard.
Yeah, and it's part of this like a growing trend of movies about like finding yourself in the wilderness, and some of them are better than others. This one,
that's because most film directors now are between their 40s and 50s. Well, I think 60s,
and everybody's trying to find themselves.
I think there's a demographic where that's definitely where they're at too.
Yeah, so I enjoyed it. I would recommend it. Also opening December the 5th, The Pyramid. A found footage archaeology movie, because, you know, it had to happen at some point. They've been to space with found footage, so now they go into the pyramids.
I would want to watch it other than the shaky cam, which unfortunately I think is going to be pretty damn severe, yeah. But I like mummies. I like dark caves and caverns and mazes.
Yeah.
Not my kind of movie.
I actually am with you. I will probably actually see it because I don't have the shaky cam issue. But
I'm scared that it's going to rely way too much on like the jump scare than anything else. But
yeah, I don't know. I thought it looked pretty great. And it's directed, first-time director. He's mostly a writer, and he's done some second-unit directing. But he's the guy that wrote P2 and The Hills Have Eyes remake and High Tension, the French movie. So, I mean, you know, he's got some like horrific crap under his belt. It could be fun.
I couldn't watch it in the theater because I know it's going to be like that. I'm going to have to wait till it's like a Netflix thing, and then I can watch it in like 6, 8, 12, 15 installment pieces.
Keep yourself from
That's enough
up.
For today.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Also opening December 5th, Life Partners. I actually think this looks kind of cute. About two best friends, one's a lesbian, the other is not, and the boy that comes between them. That's really all I could say. It stars Jillian Jacobs of Community fame, a show I don't really watch, so I don't really know her from anywhere, and Leighton Meester, who was on Gossip Girl, famously, I guess.
Not my kind of film.
Oh, totally my thing.
I don't know what to... There was a few moments where I thought this might be my kind of film, but there were other things in there that kind of...
Turned you off?
No, not turn me off, but just... I think I might actually watch this as a video.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that I would. Oh, I definitely wouldn't go to the theater unless.
Oh, yeah. This is not a theater watch for me, but it's one I'm definitely interested in checking out. Also on December the 5th, Dying of the Light. Terrible, terrible title for a movie. Nicolas Cage and who else is in this? Wait, it's Nicolas Cage and Anton Yelchin, who I really like. I'm totally like game to see this.
I must have missed this one.
Yeah, this wasn't on my list.
Oh, okay. So I should have precursored this. So this is Paul Schrader. He was the writer of Raging Bull and Taxi Driver, and he's made some movies since then. Nicolas Cage is some aging FBI agent, or maybe it's NSA or CIA. I have no fucking idea. He's getting dementia, and he discovers that some guy that he thought he like was dead has been dead for 20 years. That intelligence has said it has been dead for 20 years is actually alive. So like in one last mission to try to catch this guy because he's like the expert. It's very Homeland, weird FBI thing. I don't know. It actually looks pretty good for me.
Okay, on a scale of Nicolas Cage from, say,
it's probably a 6.
A 6?
Yeah.
So nowhere near Port of Call, New Orleans. All right.
No. It's probably, for me, like, I just watched Joe the other day.
Next?
I liked Next.
Well, if you cut off the last 2 minutes, I like Next, too.
Yes, we've had this conversation.
Yes.
Next and Knowing, both movies I actually like. It's probably in that range of Nicolas Cage, I would guess.
Cool.
From the looks of it.
I could watch that, then.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of these, like, it'd make a good Saturday afternoon movie.
I don't know.
Moving on to December the 12th. Unless you guys have something else on the 5th that I don't have. Pioneer. That's the Swedish one, is it not?
Yeah, conspiracy thriller, deep sea diving.
Yes, I did see this trailer. We were looking at different lists because I looked at one list that's very abbreviated. So we'll go off your list too. So yeah, Pioneer, Swedish thriller about a deep sea expedition that they think is, they're mining for one thing, but it actually is for something else.
There's an intrigue in there and the death of a relative. And
The trailer looked really great. I thought looked fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's subtitled, so I doubt that it'll get broad release, especially in the States. But.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a fairly limited thing because it's been kicking around. I think it's actually a movie from last year, right? Yeah, 2013.
Yeah.
So it's been kicking around for a bit. Made a bunch
that
of
trailer sold me.
Oh, I know.
I totally want to watch it.
I know. I saw the trailer. I'm like, holy shit, that looks awesome.
I know.
And then the thriller aspect, and it's Nordic. I'm like, yeah, bring this shit on.
Wait, did he die of misadventure? yeah.
And
Hook,
then
line and
Comet.
Sinker.
Yeah, and then also opening on the 12th, I guess.
No,
the 5th. Comet, which is the romantic comedy with
Emmy Rossum and Justin
Long. Yeah, but it's a weird looking comedy.
It looked like a fairly straightforward comedy, but the description talks about parallel universes, so I'm not sure if that's actually.
Yeah, that's kind of what it looks like in the trailer, at least the trailer that I saw.
I'm not sure if they're playing with that or not, but regardless, this one didn't catch me.
Oh, it totally got my attention.
Yeah, you know, normally this is the genre
that you avoid.
I nod off and have a nap while you guys are talking. This trailer was enough to go, this could just be weird enough that I'd be into. So
there you go. Awesome.
I'd give this one a chance.
Nice. I think it looks pretty great. I'm looking forward to it. I hope it actually opens somewhere. Then also opening on the 12th. Now, I think that that's this moving on to December the 12th. And I think that that's limited release. Inherent Vice, which is the new P.T. Anderson movie. I believe it opens wide. I want to say later in the month. In January, it opens wide. So this is a limited Oscar run starring...
Reese Witherspoon again.
Yeah. Joaquin Phoenix as...
Del Toro.
Don't know, man. I don't even know what this is about.
This one tickled my fancy.
It's based on a book.
I am in.
Really?
It looks
messed up.
Yeah.
And I'm in.
Dan was so excited. I'm just like, meh.
Yeah, this trailer really kind of caught me.
You have to do something weird and quirky to really.
Well,
sort
and
of,
it, it's they're playing with like 70s. They're riffing off the 70s. And I just.
That doesn't hurt either.
I watched enough bad 70s cop shows that this is kind of
fun. The only thing, quite honestly, that appeals to me about this is the cast and the director. Otherwise, I wouldn't have looked at this a second time. But it's P.T. Anderson, so I'll give it a shot.
I might
for sure.
be dragged out to a theater if it actually opens up in my neighborhood.
Nice.
I know. It rarely happens.
We'll
now.
Have to do movie nights now. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Moving on, also opening on December the 12th, Exodus, Gods and Kings.
The whitest production in town.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, man. I don't understand what Ridley Scott's thinking.
Out of this entire,
the faces
you see there is literally one that I would say was possibly from that region.
Let's take a step back. It's the biblical story of Exodus with a mostly white cast in all of the main characters.
Yeah.
And with a ethnic for all the bad guys and the slaves.
Yeah. Did we not move past this in the 30s?
And Ridley Scott has, in my opinion, very justifiedly been called on the carpet for whitewashing.
Damn fucking straight.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, what were they thinking with this casting? Seriously, like...
It's Christian Bale. Could you get a whiter dude?
I think they are literally like tone deaf to that whole thing.
It's just, it's ridiculous. I mean, it looks, I mean, it is what it is.
It's Ridley Scott production value, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, it looks good.
Big casting by committee. Well, we need a big star. That's what it is. Christian Bale. I mean, you know who works great with Christian Bale? We'll pick this person.
Well, I think Ridley Scott is like big enough that, you know, he gets who he wants. I don't think Christian Bale was foisted on him.
Mm. Yeah, true.
Probably not.
I think he legitimately wanted him. But
I just don't
understand. Yeah, I mean, I read some of the like, press on it, and I mean, it is an interesting question. Like, if you, as a creative, you know, think, like, this role, I think this actor could do really good in this role. What happens when there's some aspects of that, like, and you get into, like, you know, playing handicapped people and playing, like, what if the guy that played the Stephen Hawking thing, what if there had been a actor in a wheelchair that, like, wanted to take a crack at that role? That's not the best example because he does the evolution from healthy to, but I mean, that has actually come up with actors who have disabilities who get pushed aside in a role that they could actually nail because there's a star that can do that.
In today's day and age, this just feels totally out of touch with the culture.
They don't even look Mediterranean, let alone.
No.
They. I mean, like you said, they look pretty damn white.
It's really, really problematic. I don't expect great things from the movie anyways. It looks fairly terrible with really great special effects. But
although, you know, really, our society has taught us for the most part that Jesus was basically a blue-eyed, blonde-haired hippie.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's very true. Very true.
Yeah. If he had wanted, I would have loved to seen some of the reaction if they had picked somebody who looked like very Israeli-Palestinian, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, my God, Moses is a terrorist. And he kind of is from an Egyptian point of view.
And they're coming into the States and they get hit by Homeland Security.
Yeah.
I'm here for my premiere of the film.
Press tour has been canceled due to.
Oh my God. Apparently the Patriot Act. We don't know where the actor is now.
Yeah.
You know, and having said that, I watched oh, whatever the one Charlton Heston was in.
Ben-Hur?
Moses? No, he played Moses. And I forget.
Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments.
Yeah, Ten Commandments. And, you know, as wrong as it is, that's kind of set my brain image of the story. Like, how white is that?
Yeah.
You know, so.
But, I mean, that was a movie of its time. Like, I mean, it's of its time.
The action, the overemphasis on action in the Ridley Scott movie has me a little bit concerned because when I think of, and I mean, I've read Exodus too. Like there's a real important story in there, even if you're not particularly religious, but there's a real important story in there about like leadership and slavery and trying to better. And I don't know. It seems like it's going to get like distilled down to a couple big action fight scenes.
That's exactly what it's
going to be. Because that was the one thing about that I remember from the old, whatever, the 50s movie. But the whole scourge of the Pharaoh that he had to undergo to change his mind. I mean, there's a lot of inherent drama in that. Like, it isn't just fighting.
Yeah, and I think in the hands of another director, we'd probably get some of that. But I think here it's just going to be big action sequences with the occasional talky-talky moment. And it's 150 fucking minutes long? Are you joking?
Over 2 hours.
Hey, oh, fuck
it's an
me.
Epic.
We're talking about one of the most historically relevant facts ever in our collective society.
Kill me already.
I'm amazed they could do it in 2.5 hours.
50 minutes. Jesus Christ.
And not become like some sort of epic sort of what's-his-face's 3-parter and 18-hour long film.
I just don't even.
The Lord of the Rings trilogy becomes the Exodus trilogy.
Jesus Christ.
With 47 extra hours on the disc.
And now for something completely different.
Yeah. So Chris Rock, writing, directing, starring along with Rosario Dawson. He plays a comedian. The movie's called Top 5. He plays a comedian who is trying to be like, I don't know.
I think they said in the notes that he wants to move on to play a serious actor. But the sense I got was he just wants to try something different.
His fiance decides that it would be a good idea to publicize
she's a reality TV show. Actress. And let's do our wedding on reality TV.
Yeah. And hilarity ensues.
This one really caught me.
Like, I agree. I think it looks really great.
Of all the movies so far, like this is one of the few this month that would get me into a theater.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, there's not. This month didn't kind of thrill me.
Having just watched all 7 seasons of 30 Rock, I've already just watched this. Tracy Jordan and his wife. Yeah.
I think it looks pretty great. And generally speaking, I like Chris Rock movies.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
I would love to see him and Julie Delpy do another.
Oh, me too.
Whatever that is in the series.
Yeah, it would be the third one, I guess.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. Because they were really great together. I thought that was pretty brilliant. So yeah, I'm game. Totally game. Okay, you'll have to tell me what the fuck Free the Nipple is.
Oh, Free...
What on earth?
It's kind of
meta.
Is
it a documentary?
No, I wondered that too. So I had to look. It's a message film, but photographer filmmaker decided to take, based on real life events, the actual movement in New York. I don't know what the movement was called, but
it was the whole women wanting to go topless.
It's like equal rights. If men can go topless, women can go topless, and they actually did like topless protests and things. So she did a movie. Basically, it's a based on a true story style movie on this, and it's definitely an advocacy film. And it's part of the greater protest. So it's kind of meta that way.
Okay.
There's a great quote, though, and it was in the Inside Movies EW website. This is a quote by Esco, who's the... What's her?
The director?
Yeah. Lena Esco. This journalist asked me once, why are you making a movie called Free the Nipple and why are you going topless to prove a point about equality? She responded, I said if I would have made a movie called Equality and no one was going topless, no one would be talking about it. That shut the reporter up.
That's certainly true.
Yeah.
Also opening on the 12th in limited release, The Captive. This is Adam O'Goyen's film. If you're in Canada, you've probably already seen it because he put it out earlier this year. Ryan Reynolds and Marielle Enos play parents of a girl who gets kidnapped. And things just... The trailer looks really great and it suggests O'Goyen is back to like on top form. It's a bit of a mess. It's a bit of a hot mess.
But O'Goyen really likes those tragedies.
Yeah, and this one kind of plays in that, but then it goes all like he's been making some weird movies, like not like he kind of started with the personal tragedy thing and that worked really well for him, and then he sort of went like he started bringing Hollywood stars into his movies, and then he kind of went tragic but with like this weird mystery angle that just got creepier and creepier, and now he's like in full creep mode. But not really. Like, I don't know. He's just, he doesn't know what kind of movie he's making. And it's really confusing for people watching it, including myself. So, I mean, I thought The Captive had some great moments, but generally speaking, it's not a particularly good movie. But Ryan Reynolds is really good at it. So, there's that.
Well, that's good. I wish he would get good roles for him.
He has
I like him as an actor, but he's kind of sucked in his...
He's going to be having... There's a movie that played a couple of festivals earlier this year. I think it's called The Voices, where he's like... I don't know if he's a serial killer or a killer, and he talks to his cats. It looks fucking amazing, and the reviews have been great. I cannot wait. So we'll see. Eventually, we'll get that one. Moving on to December the 17th. Opening that week, The Hobbit.
So this I will remind people, this is the week of Christmas.
Yeah. So this will be, actually, The Hobbit opens on the Wednesday, and then the rest of the movies open on the Friday. So The Hobbit has a two-day lead start on everybody else. The final Hobbit movie, I was reluctant to watch this trailer. I literally just watched it this morning.
I didn't even bother watching the trailer, actually.
Oh, really? You didn't even bother with the trailer? Kind of knew what was coming.
I generally know what it's about. I actually don't need a trailer to decide whether or not I'm going to the movie. And, you know, based on the last two movies, I think I have a pretty good idea of where the story's at. So it's just a matter of, like, I would not go to see this movie alone. I would go and see it if someone was going to see it. But I'm kind of debating whether I kind of want to wait and watch the last two.
Mm.
At the same time. I'm in the same place right now with the third Mockingjay movie.
Hunger Games.
Hunger Games, yeah.
Yeah. No
interest. I watched the first Lord of the Rings and I was done.
But the third one is the best one.
I generally liked the Lord of the Rings treatment. I have not liked the Hobbit treatment.
I didn't care for the first one. The second one was a little bit better. We enjoyed it a lot more. But I'm still not a huge fan.
To me, they're kind of an uncanny valley. Like, they aren't, to me, a good representation of the spirit of the books. And they aren't, to the degree that they've tried to lighten the story up, they should have just gone to full parody. I mean, Harvard Press did a parody called Board of the Rings. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
I've read some of their parodies before,
It's completely sophomoric.
Yeah.
As a kid, I laughed my ass off. If they had done something like that, I would be in. It almost feels like, I mean, when they're going down the river in a barrel, God.
Yeah, well, I saw that at one of the free VS screenings. Dan and I already talked about it. He's like, we're not paying for this one. We'll go to one of the screenings when it comes up. I'm like, okay. We're not interested in paying money to see this either. December the 19th, so that's the Friday. We have a couple of other things. Night at the Museum. I think this is the third, fourth.
Third.
Yeah, I have no idea how many there have been.
I thought there was three in Smithsonian. This one's the Museum of London.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
you are as good on this as I am. I've seen one of them.
I'll probably end up watching it solely because there's an animated Triceratops barreling down hallways. I'm in.
Dan Stevens as Lancelot. Sold!
Oh, really? I was going to say, I want to watch this, but not in a theater, but I...
Not in a theater.
No. Okay. This is totally a Netflix.
I was going to say, I'll go to a theater if someone drags me out.
No. But Dan, I watched the first one. I've skipped however many others there have been. But yeah, Dan Stevens as Lancelot. I'm like, yeah, gotta go.
The first one was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, when I finally watched it.
Skeletal dinosaurs that are animated, like in the sense of being alive. I am so freaking in.
Yep.
I love it.
Lancelot. That's all I gotta say. Dan Stevens is Lancelot. That's all I need. I need nothing else. Also opening on the 19th, Annie.
It looks cute.
I guess.
I want to be really jaded. I want to be really jaded on this, but the trailer kind of...
Charming. You
know, I'm not going to see it in the theater, but...
Yeah, I have no interest in seeing this ever.
None
whatsoever.
I'm sorry. I'm busy individually plucking hairs out of my scalp.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's me.
Every now and then, I need kind of a saccharine movie hit. This looks like it might.
Oh yeah, no, I'm totally empty calorie. I'm totally into the empty calories, but this is not how I want my.
Not yours.
No. Anything else you got there? Also in limited release on the 19th. It opens actually full on later in the month. The Gambler.
Interesting choice for a Christmas release.
Yeah, Rupert Wyatt's new movie with Jessica Lange and Mark Wahlberg.
Marky Mark.
No.
Marky Mark.
As a gambling addict. I know, it could be okay. I don't really know. To me, it just kind of looks like...
Not my kind of movie, but it looked like it could be...
Yeah, it looked like it could be good.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath on that one. If people I respect, Marina and others, are raving about it, and I'd probably become more interested, but that trailer just left me, all right, whatever.
Yeah, there didn't look like... I mean, the thing with these stories is, like, this falls into the almost the trope-tastic category. So you need to have something in there that is... like either like really off the wall or strange or just a really well done version of the trope. And this didn't strike me as like having any of those.
The only real attraction for me about this trailer is the relationship between Jessica Lange and Mark Wahlberg.
That was kind of neat. Like the scene in the trailer. Yeah. Where they're at the bank.
Yeah.
And it's like, she's like, we've banked here forever. You're going to give me $260,000 in cash. Is there anything wrong? When isn't there something wrong when you get $260,000 in cash?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that was a great scene.
Yeah. And it looks like there could be some great moments there, but we'll see.
Yeah. Like not enough that I want to spend.
Yeah. I'm with you. Like there's other things that I'd rather spend my money and time on.
I'm recording a video and I want to make it rain.
Also opening on the 19th, Mr. Turner. This is Mike Leigh's new film, with starring Timothy Spall as the painter Turner. This played Viff. Unfortunately, Bill didn't care for this. He said it was like watching paint dry.
Oh no!
Yeah, I missed it. I couldn't see it.
I so very seldom match up with Bill's opinion.
But
on
this
things.
Time, you guys may agree on something.
I think we, yeah. But I don't know. It's like, yeah, I can't use Bill as a bellwether.
I usually can. I'm not sure about this one. I thought the trailer looked really great. I didn't get a chance to see it at VIFF. I'm pretty sure I'm probably not going to get to see it before the end of the year, but I thought it looked interesting, and I mean, it's certainly an interesting story about an interesting character, so.
I'm not a big... I don't know. Turner never really did much for me, and I suspect it's not any faster than that trailer is. Like, that trailer is the high points in the film, so it's going to be extremely slow film. And I'm not sure I want to sit through that slow of film for a painter I'm really not all that interested in.
Yeah. Also opening on the 19th, Goodbye to All That. No idea what this is.
It is a... Oh, man.
Oh, it's Melanie Lynskey. I like her.
Great cast. It's about...
Dale's doing me a solid by putting the things in big letters for me to look at.
A couple gets divorced. They have a daughter. So different house. And the guy gets back into the dating scene. And it causes a bit of a conflict with his daughter. It's like, she's really young. And they don't use this terminology. This is Dale terminology. But it's like... Daddy is a man slut, and the young daughter is like really uncomfortable with this. But it's not really a comedy. It's I guess a drama with a little bit of comedic elements. And I didn't get a good take on whether it wanted to be a comedy or a drama or a dramedy.
Yeah,
it kind of looks like an interesting story, and yeah, Melanie Lynskey's.
I like her.
But like not my kind of story. So no. It didn't go much further than that.
Okay. Probably not one for me. Moving on to Christmas Day.
Well, Boxing Day. Or is this actually Christmas Day?
It's actually Christmas Day.
Oh, okay. You have a better list that way. Because I was surprised there weren't any Christmas Day releases.
Yeah, but. So I don't know. Christmas Day, Boxing Day, we'll go with it. Into the Woods, the Rob Marshall musical that they tried to pretend wasn't actually a musical with the first trailer, which cracked me up to no end. When they released the first trailer and there was no singing, I'm like, they are totally hiding the fact that this is a musical.
Oh, what a mistake.
What
a way hiding, to piss an obvious
go, what the hell?
I mean, you'll get people that'll come just because it is a musical.
Yeah.
And I don't think that you'll really get that many people not coming they're otherwise interested in the story. Not too many. I mean, there's a few. Like, to me, musicals are a red flag on the field. It won't stop me, but I will think much harder.
Yes.
I really like this cast. But
the cast looks great.
Yeah, the cast is the thing that'll get me out. Because generally speaking, Rob Marshall musicals, not my go-to.
And the take on the fairy tales looks like kind of fun, too.
Yeah, I could go with that. I'm okay with that. But I mean, yeah, this cast is like ridiculous.
And Depp looks like he's under control, which is nice.
I'm really not on the Johnny Depp bandwagon.
Well, I
haven't been for years.
No, I'm not. That's what I mean. It's like he's in here, but it looks like they've got him dialed down in a corner, which is awesome.
I don't know. I don't think that's how he comes across, but.
Oh, okay.
No, I find him all pedophilia-y. Gross.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Yeah,
no. I did say dialed down. I didn't say
like totally
normalized. Yeah,
exactly. also opening on the 25th, Unbroken. This is Angelina Jolie's second film. Jack O'Connell stars as real life Louis Zamperini, who was a World War. He was an Olympic athlete and then a World War
Two. Two.
He was a prisoner of war, right?
Yeah,
in Japan.
Yeah. He died just recently, not that long ago. Yeah, yeah, she actually had him. What's the word when you
consult
on the film?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and then he died not that long ago before the film's release, which is really kind of sad. But he had a really full life, and the movie looks really great.
The pedigree too, like it's based on a book. A nonfiction book called Unbroken, a World War II story of survival, resilience, and redemption, written by Laura Hildebrandt, who's done a couple other nonfiction books, one about Seabiscuit that the movie was based on.
So okay.
She's kind of got a track record for, backed into
and
movies.
And, you know, Julie is, I liked In the Land of Milk and Honey. I thought it was really well done. She certainly has a great eye, and this looks fantastic. I'm totally sold.
I'm totally sold on that too. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's the whole World War II kind of thing.
I'm a
fan.
Yeah.
War film without actually being a war film.
Yeah. Right. Those are really your...
I love those.
Yeah. Also opening on the 25th, The Interview. Oh, gosh.
Man, you know, this looks stupid in a 22 Jump Street kind of way stupid. I'm like... I don't want to like this, but I can't help myself.
Interested but laugh. In it,
yeah. Moth to a. Yeah,
it's true. I'm exactly in the same boat as you.
Seth Rogen is so hit and miss with me, but this is like almost looking good? Okay. No, I will never go to The Good Place. I can't imagine.
I can go to The Good Place.
We want you to take him out. This to dinner? To a show?
Come on, it looks so stupid. It might actually be funny.
Yeah.
Oh, and. The fact that it's
shot locally.
Lizzie Kaplan as the CIA.
She's pretty great. So are you watching Masters of Sex? Because there's lots of Lizzie Kaplan in Masters of Sex.
No, actually, I kind of lost interest about
that
how
show gets so good.
Two-thirds of the way through the first season?
Oh, it gets so good. That show's great.
I might pick it up again, but...
It's really fantastic.
They said that about totally Games should. Of Thrones, too.
Well, but you're in the minority there, so...
I guess.
I think this looks like it might actually be funny.
Your dose of stupidity for December.
Pretty much.
I want to see this. Yeah. It'll be my guilty pleasure.
Yeah, mine too. Also opening on the 25th, I didn't actually
Clint Eastwood's Christmas movie. Yeah.
American Sniper with
Get
Bobby
Off
Cooper.
My Lawn, Gran Torino.
I want to see this. I really much want to see it, although I am a little worried about Sisko and Bob, but yeah, oh shit, man, yeah.
I'm interested in the story too.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, part of it is...
You guys can report back. I have zero interest.
The thing is, in war, when you're randomly shooting at targets who are randomly shooting at you, it's a whole different kind of story than you staring down a barrel at someone and asking for confirmation to kill them. It's a different thing entirely.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. Like, I completely see where the appeal for the story is and how this could be really great. I just have zero...
Trust?
I just don't think Eastwood can pull it off.
That's what has me hesitating too. Because like Colleen said,
it's not even Bradley Cooper. It's Eastwood that I don't trust.
I have read about snipers, and what I saw in the clips so far, they seem to understand like the inherent drama and horror of having to make that decision. Mm-hmm. And it isn't, like Colleen said, it isn't like you're shooting at someone that's shooting back. It's like you have someone that you're going to kill in like cold blood. They might not even see you coming, and it might not even be a obvious combatant. So if they pull that off, this could be like a really kind of mm-hmm. awesome movie. But yeah, Eastwood does not have the best track record. Although I did like his Iwo Jima movies.
Flags of Our Fathers.
Yeah.
Or which one was it?
I liked Letters to Iwo Jima. I didn't care for Flags of Our Fathers.
Yeah, I can't forget. The
first one was Flags of Our Fathers. That was the American side of the story.
Okay.
Letters from Iwo Jima was the same story from the Japanese
side. Yeah, I think I like that side better. Yeah. I like them both, but yeah, I think the Japanese one was...
Yeah, it's the one I really enjoyed. Yeah. The other one I didn't care for.
So the thing is, he could pull it off. So I'm keenly interested in this movie. I will probably wait and see what the reaction is, but I'm definitely more for than not.
Yeah, and I'm very not interested.
To me, to a certain degree, it's kind of like Hurt Locker. Like, it's not going to be a fun film. It's not going to be... It has the potential to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is or not is another story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Agreed. 110%. Also opening on Christmas Day, Tim Burton in Big Eyes. Well, directing Big Eyes. About the woman that did the Big Eye paintings.
I did not Amy know Adams, there was a Christoph controversy Waltz. Over this.
No, neither did I. It's
I didn't
kind
know
of amazing.
It was a thing, but...
There was actually a really...
It looks fun.
Yeah, there's actually a really great interview. It's a roundtable. It's about 8 minutes long. I'll see if I can track it down. It was part of a Variety special that they did on like actors on actors and stuff. And they had an eight-minute interview with a couple of screenwriters. And one of them... Well, the pair of screenwriters that wrote this screenplay were actually... part of the group, and they talked for most of the 8 minutes because the story, I guess they've been trying to get this movie made for like 20 years, and they bought the rights from the woman like 20 years ago, and on and off over those last 20 years, like a bunch of people have been attached to star. They've tried to get this thing made, and she's like 90 or something now, and they kept saying, okay, we're going to get this made, and then finally they're like, we got to get this made before she dies because she's getting so old.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the whole thing sort of came together. I don't know if it looks great, but I love this cast, and it looks like Tim Burton may actually be making a good movie, which is like a miracle.
Oh, please be real.
Like, it looks please. Like it has like that weird thing with the big eyes and stuff, but it looks to be a little
playing
subdued.
It straight.
Yeah. And I can totally go with that.
Playing it straight with a slightly like, off-kilter subject.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And yeah. I mean, this cast is great. Amy Adams is fantastic. I love Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
I say bring it on.
Kristen Ritter, I
love her.
Christoph Waltz, man.
I just want to like do the old grandpa thing. It's like, you're so cute.
Oh, she's fabulous. She was recently on the Nerdist podcast, and it was really interesting listening to her talk because she is not your, I guess they've been trying to sort of, she started as a model. I had no idea.
No idea.
At all. But see, since she's come to Hollywood, they've been trying to sort of pigeonhole her into this, you know, gorgeous. She's like, and I'm totally not. I am not like high heels are not for me. It's just never really been my thing. Give me sneakers any day of the week. So she's just not like your typical, I guess, you know, superstar. So she doesn't really fit in anywhere. And she's kind of lanky.
And she does that ironic snarky thing so well.
I love The Bitch in Apartment 13.
Yeah.
Love that show. So I'm a big fan of hers. I'm excited for this one. And I haven't been looking forward to a Tim Burton film in like decades.
Yep.
So I'm optimistic, I hope. Shot in Vancouver.
Wow. Oh, yeah, cool.
For a large part. And then also on Christmas Day... 2 days, one night. This is the new Dardenne film with Marion Cotillard. I totally messed that up. But she plays a woman who has lost her job. And she basically, the film follows her for 24 hours as she tries to convince all of her coworkers to essentially vote in a way that she could get her job back. And that's all the movie's about.
Yeah, the coworkers. In order for the coworkers to get their bonus, someone has to go, and it's her.
Yeah.
So she convinces them not to take their bonus.
So that she could keep her job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This, I don't think I could sit through this film. Like, emotionally, this is exactly the kind of film that is, like, really difficult for me to watch.
Mm. Yeah.
I just don't know how I could, like, just even watching the trailer, I'm like, oh, God, I don't think I could finish the trailer.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, given the kind of drama people like watching on reality television. Mm-hmm. If this wasn't subtitled, I would think that it would do gangbusters. But the subtitled part is going to like kill it for North America.
I think so. I expect
a remake.
Yeah, probably. I would say that I haven't seen this one. The Dardenne brothers don't. I don't have the love for them that some other people do. I can appreciate their art, but they're just not really my go-to guys. Apparently, this is like Lower Dardenne, whatever the fuck that means.
Oh my God, they have terms for their different film styles?
Yeah, apparently.
Wow.
So this is like on the lower scale of the Dardenne brothers, but it's still pretty compelling for all intents and purposes. So I don't know. I can tell you about the next one, though. Also opening on Christmas Day, Beloved Sisters. This is the story of a poet. I believe he's German. I can't remember his name. I'm not even going to try. And the two sisters who...
Friedrich Schiller.
Thank you. And two sisters who he kind of has a relationship with. And it follows their life. This is like a 3-hour, 2.5-hour marathon. 2 hours and
138 minutes.
Yeah, so. It's pretty long. I saw it at the film festival.
2.5 hours.
It's really pretty. It's one of these. I didn't realize there was a theme in German films like these high end historic dramas of the last couple of years. But I guess that the way that they've been sort of getting money to get these things made is by sort of making movies that are super long that they can then sell to TV as a two or three part miniseries because a lot of the funding comes from television producers.
Wow!
So that's why that we've had like sort of the streak of these really long German high end. Period pieces, which is totally fine by me because you said period piece and I said period porn, bring it on. I enjoyed it. It's not like, I didn't love it. The performances are great, particularly from the women. Just didn't really care for the story, but it looks really awesome.
I usually love period pieces, but this does nothing for me whatsoever.
You may actually enjoy it. It gets gets pretty interesting and there's some interesting stuff about like being an artist and... artistic merit and stuff. There's some interesting things to it. I just didn't like.
I.e., get a job, you bum.
Yeah, well, sort of.
Awesome.
But I did enjoy it enough that I would say, you know, if you like a period film, you might want to check this one out. It's pretty good. I do have one more on the list opening on the 31st, I believe it is, in limited release because I think it opens in January at some point. Most Violent Year. Which is the new film with Jessica Chastain and what's his face? Oscar Isaac. Mob movies set in the 80s, I want to say.
Yep. 1982?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll probably talk a little bit about this a little more when we talk about our Whistler preview.
Yeah.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
That's where I saw it.
Yeah, that's where you saw it. It's coming to Whistler early. So we'll be talking about that in a little while when we do our Whistler preview. But it certainly looks really, really great. I'm kind of excited for this one. That's it. That's not it.
Oh,
wait. Oh. We have our local stuff. There's lots of shit going on locally. So the Van City is doing lots. They're doing a year-end best of 2014 where they're showing some of like the best hits of the year. So they're showing Under the Skin, which is really good if you guys haven't seen it.
It's, oh, yeah. This is one of the few films I saw before you did. Yes. I just read your review a little.
That movie left me feeling really icky.
I still don't quite know exactly what to make of it, but yeah, it was.
So good. So good. We Are the Best, which I haven't seen yet. Ida, which I also haven't. I haven't seen a lot of these. 20,000 Days on Earth, The Tale of Princess Kaguya, and The Immigrant, which is the only one I'm going to go and see. Because I have to see The Immigrant. And I haven't seen it yet. I'm very sad about that. Other stuff opening at the Van City. Force Majeure is playing November the 30th to December 11th. Mm. This is the, I think it's Swedish, Avalanche movie. It's actually pretty good. I rather enjoyed it when I saw it.
They were Catherine Monk was talking on television about it kind of thing. And they showed some clips and it just seems to be filmed in a really odd kind of way.
It's a little
compared
bit
compared to most mountain films.
Yeah, it's a little stilted, which kind of goes with the story itself, I think.
Yeah.
Because it it's very odd. Like, and it's really uncomfortable to watch in places.
Mm-hmm.
So the basic idea is that this family is on vacation in the Alps or something, and they're having breakfast one morning, and they think that it's a controlled avalanche that's coming down the mountain, and it gets really close to the restaurant on the patio where they're having breakfast, and the husband runs away and leaves the family there, and then the avalanche doesn't actually happen. So now he's dealing with this thing where he is saying that he didn't run away, though he clearly ran away.
Uh-huh.
And the wife is like, you fucking left me and the kids to save your own goddamn hide.
Wow.
And yeah.
That sounds kind of awesome.
It is. And it goes to some really like uncomfortable relationship places.
Well, the avalanche does happen, but it doesn't quite hit them. Yes. They're just in a bit of a whiteout.
Yeah,
crazy.
It's this weird morality tale. It's really, I highly recommend it, but it's really uncomfortable to watch. Really uncomfortable. Also playing the Van City, the Babadook. I don't know. December 5th to the 27th.
That's the way Bill pronounced it.
Yeah, Babadook. There you go. So everybody seems to like this movie. Some people love it more than like it. Haven't seen it yet. Horror movie. Could be okay.
I think IO9 said the best movie you'll ever see once.
Oh, okay. I could go with that. I haven't seen it yet. It's one that I do want to see, but
and that was kind of the sense. They didn't say it that way, but that was kind of like Bill and
They enjoyed it, but they weren't as sort of high on it as everybody else was coming out of Fantastic Fest.
Bill and Adrian.
Yeah. Also playing the Van City Theater, 1,000 Times Good Night, December 12th to January 3rd. This is the Juliette Binoche. Christoph Waldo, whatever his last name is, basically Jamie Lannister. This is the one where she plays the war photographer that has the relationship issues with her family. I thought the trailer looked really great. I might actually give this one a go if I can find the time. The Overnighters, December 12th to the 17th, the documentary that's sort of vying for Oscar about some guy in, I want to say Austin or something, that opens up his church for.
Oh, right.
That one.
Right.
Maybe it's not Austin. I think it's some oil town or something.
Yeah. It's in, I think, North Dakota.
Yeah, where a lot of people went go and find jobs in the oil fields or whatever.
Sleeping out in their cars.
Yeah. And that one has been kind of divisive. Generally speaking, a lot of people have loved the movie. And then, again, Adrian didn't care for it. Bill didn't think it was all that great either. So I haven't gotten around to checking that one out yet, but... Maybe. The Vancouver Asahi? I don't know. This was one of the big openings at VIF. It was like a big to-do. It's about the Japanese player baseball team from Vancouver,
okay. Yeah.
The historical movie. It's playing December 19th to January 8th. I expect it's probably going to be like ridiculously busy because the two screenings that they did at VIF were a gong show. So if you're into that, might want to buy your tickets.
Go early.
Yeah, might want to buy your tickets in advance. Also, Advanced Style, which I did like. I saw this at VIF as well. This is a fashion documentary about this guy in New York who, for a number of years, has run a blog where he takes pictures of older women who are fashionable, and it's kind of turned into this movement. And the blog is called Advanced Style. And the documentary is about him, but mostly about the women that he photographs, because there are a number of them that he's photographed more than once and have sort of become regulars on his blog. It's really interesting. It's not just about the fashion, though it's more of like a... It's a movie that's hard not to like, because it's kind of this reassurance that as you get older, you're still... a person that's valuable and has something good to offer. I really liked it. I love the message that it sends. And that plays the 19th to the January 3rd. And Prince fans, or the artist, or whatever the fuck he calls himself nowadays, Purple Rain, 30th anniversary edition screening. They're playing it once, December the 15th, 8:45 p.m. There you go. At the Cinematheque, it's a much shorter list, I promise. In the Land of Headhunters, the 100th anniversary screening. This was the first film made in BC, apparently. So the Van City Theater and the Cinematheque are doing a sort of partnership. The Cinematheque is showing it December 5th and 6th, and the Van City is screening it December the 7th. It's a brand new print, so it'll be all nice and pretty. Also sort of BC movie history, The Bitter Ash, which was the first sort of modern film made in Vancouver. It was made in the 60s, I want to say, by Larry Kent. They're screening it December 5th and 6th. And Kent will be in attendance, I think, for the first screening on the 5th and doing a Q&A. Their Frames of Mind screening this month is Gabriel, which was a film that sort of came out very quietly earlier in the year, starring Rory Culkin. I haven't seen it yet, but it looked really great. That's screening December the 17th. The Shortest Day Free Shorts program, that's sort of a touring shorts program, is playing December the 21st, and it's completely free. There's three programs. The first two are kid-friendly. The third one, I think, is rated PG or something. But it has a number of like really great short films from the year and some traditional stuff from the NFB. So I think they're actually playing The Cat Came Back. I'm tempted to go just to see that on the big screen because I love that short. And they're finishing off the year with James Dean Restored. So December the 22nd to the 28th, they're showing three James Dean films, East of Eden, Rebel Without a Cause, and Giant, which I really like. I saw it for the first time like 3 years ago, and I love that movie with Rock Hudson and Liz Taylor. So fucking good. So good. It's like 2.5 hours long, but totally worth it. And that's it. Colleen, do we know what the midnight screening is?
No, I think it's happening. It happened yesterday for this month, and it was something I had no interest in whatsoever.
Was it Clueless?
No, Rocky Horror.
Oh,
yeah. I me either. No, thanks. So I don't know what they're doing for December, but last Friday in December, there almost surely is going to be a Midnight Madness out in Pitt Meadows. Hopefully it'll be a horror or a comedy or something decent, because there's been a couple strings of things I wasn't interested in. So
we'll link to their website on the show notes, so you can come by. Usually
the ones early in the year quite often are more horror related, like last year was Psycho. Nice. And a couple other ones, The Thing. Yeah,
now that I'm closer to you, I'm totally counting on you to go.
I'm willing to drop you back off in Coquitlam.
Sweet. And that's it. That's December. That's the year.
That's the year.
Year.
In movies, well, generally speaking. We'll probably do some sort of rap show at some point. But before we get to like the real end of the year rap show, Whistler Film Festival kicks off in days.
Days.
Mere days. And we'll be back in the next day or two with a Whistler preview. So stay tuned for that. Colleen, you're not really tweeting anymore.
No, right? I haven't tweeted in...
Dale, you're tweeting occasionally.
Years and years.
Dale, at Dale42.
Yeah, I haven't tweeted. Twitter abandoned me. Their app won't run on my laptop anymore.
Oh.
So it's kind of hard, yeah.
Mine is I couldn't follow things on it. Like, I like following something. And if you're not on top of Twitter all the freaking time, you just lose stuff. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of a stream of consciousness now because I just don't have the time to check it as regularly as I would like.
Well,
so some days are better than others.
Like TweetDeck, which they took over. God, people probably, I don't know if they're interested. The website doesn't work for me for exactly that reason. Like there's a few people I do want to read all of their tweets.
Mm-hmm.
And TweetDeck worked fairly well for that. But they updated it, and I have an older Mac, and suddenly their app wouldn't work.
Oh,
on my older Mac. So it's like, well, fuck you, Twitter. I'm like, I mean, at some point I will get a newer version of the OS and get that all set up again. But for now, it's just like I'm taking a Twitter holiday.
Yeah, and I've just been so busy, I haven't had the time to be on top of it as much on top of it as I would like. But I still try to follow what the hell's going on.
For me, it's harder. So much about the podcast now, and the ones that I mostly listen to are local, and they're all on Facebook, and they have big communities on their thing, so that sort of supplanted Twitter entirely.
But, you can always come by row3.com and check out the show notes and leave some comments there, or we are on Twitter, if you're at all interested, or Letterboxd, which we're also on. Some of us.
Except for me. I have an account. I just haven't logged in about 2 years.
But we're just going to say that you're like the Bill of the relationship. You're always right. And you don't do social media.
God, you know what really...
Hey, I'm on Facebook all the freaking time.
Okay, like this blew me away. Big Hero 6, which I really liked. Not blockbuster liked, but I definitely really liked it. Bill liked it. Adrian didn't. That totally blew me away. Like, Adrian didn't like Big Hero 6. And Bill did. Holy shit. I wasn't sure whether Bill was going to like it or not, but the fact Adrian didn't, and then with Bill liking it, it's like, okay, fuck.
Now I'm really in trouble. Now I really can't count on those
just
two.
Reality just warped a little bit strangely.
It's funny because for, like, I don't know how, we've been doing the Row 3 thing for a long time, basically as long as we've been doing this show. The show is older than Row 3, but still. And as far back as I can remember knowing Andrew, we have pretty much 90% of the time agreed on everything. Except for the last, like, year, where our tastes have really not aligned as much.
Andrew, you've changed.
It's been really weird. And then, of course, we're back on the same page because we both fucking loved Birdman.
Matt, generally, I agreed with on the weird stuff, yes, kind of thing. Yes. But Catherine Monk, our local television, as an opposite.
Oh, yeah,
I could rely on her being absolute opposite of what I thought. Yeah. So if she gave either a really good or really bad, I was pretty confident that I was going to either like or hate as opposed to her. It was the middle ground stuff that was confusing. Yep. I forget what it was recently, though, in the last year or two. So she was like raved about something. I'm going, but I love that. You can't like that. You're not allowed to like that because I like it. Stop it, Catherine Monk. And did you comb your hair?
She cut her hair.
I know.
And then combed it. We're giving her a hard time. Catherine Monk and I have
she's
very rarely seen
extremely knowledgeable,
eye.
And she knows what she's talking about. It's just what she likes and what I like are opposites.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a huge fan of hers, but I've always appreciated her passion and devotion to Canadian film.
Same here. Yeah.
That's one thing that she and I are totally in agreement with, and I am happy to overlook almost anything else.
It's always made me a little sad that we didn't agree more because, like, she definitely has the chops, unlike a lot of critics.
Yeah.
But, we just don't agree.
Yeah, we very rarely have the same tastes, but, when it comes to Canadian film, she and I are totally on the same page. Totally on the same page. But we will talk more Canadian film on the Whistler Film Festival.
Okay. Right. Show. Lots of Canadian film.
So we'll leave things off for here. Come on by row3.com. Check out the links to the trailers and the podcast bits that we talked about at the top of the show. We'll link to those shows in case you're curious and listening in on what we've been listening to. And we will be back in a couple of days with a Whistler preview show. So until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
Turn away from the sound of your own voice, calling no one, just the silence, a deceiver at the edge, follow the avalanche. Hold, hold the light that fixes you in time, keeps you under, takes you over.